The reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames.
Thank you, Sandra. And I'm just going to bring you an added extra, verses 16 and 17. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Well, good morning. As Richard says, we're looking at following Jesus. We're in the middle of a series, and we've looked at aspects of living the Christian life, such as growing in maturity or keeping in step with the Spirit. Today, we're looking at constructing a building, which is fairly obvious from the reading we've just enjoyed. Now, many of us are stunned by colourful sunsets or the loveliness of nature. But I happen to think that buildings have their own beauty too. So take, for example, the Taj Mahal or the Eiffel Tower, Westminster Abbey, or the Sydney Opera House. Some buildings are downright wacky. I don't know if you've ever seen this on the internet. You can book, I did look, it was something like $139. I don't remember if that was for 1 or 2 days, I can't remember now. But you can book a couple of days there in America if you're so inclined. Unsurprisingly, dogs are welcome. If you find yourself in Prague, you might see this dancing house nicknamed Fred and Ginger. But whether beautiful or mundane, functional or high art, every building needs a good foundation. Just look what happens if you build on soft soil. Although I do have to acknowledge it has been there a few hundred years. But I'm not sure how much longer this house has got. The house that Richard was talking about earlier, the house built on the sand and is on the verge of collapse. Now that's what Paul was trying to avoid in Corinth, house collapse. Paul has described the followers of Jesus as God's field. He said that he, Paul, planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God gave it the growth. But now he changes the picture, he changes the imagery, and the builders, believers, are now builders, God's building. And we're going to follow through verses 10 to 17 of chapter 3 and just see what Paul says, which encourages the church to stay standing. And we're going to look at the foundation, what we build on, the builders, how we build and what we build with, and the temple. What's the building for anyway? Now, a big problem for the Corinthians was their lack of unity. They had divided themselves up into factions or schools of thought. And Paul has to say to them, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So their unity is to be found in Jesus Christ. He says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. One day, a boy was seen carrying a sack. He had captured some birds and was keeping them captive in cruel and cramped conditions. As he walked along, he met an old man who asked what he had in the sack. And the boy explained that he had some birds. He was going to play with them, take them out, pull the feathers out, torment them one by one. And then when he was done, he was going to toss them to the cat. Well, the man was horrified and asked the boy how much he would sell them for. Now, the boy was as crafty as he was cruel. And thinking that he was going to be talked down, he said, £50. You can have them all for £50. And the old man said, done. He gave the boy the money. He took the sack, opened it up, and released the birds into the air and into freedom. And it so happened that one day, God met the devil, who was carrying a bag from which came the sounds of young and old alike wailing in pain. What have you there? Asked the father. People, smirked the devil. And what will you do with them? I will torment them one by one. And what will you take for all of them? Your only beloved son. Done, said the father. And he reached down to earth and gave us the gift of his son. This is what unites the church. To change the building metaphor for a moment, we're all birds who have been released from the sack into freedom. In Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We're put right with God. We're set free to live life as it was always intended that we should. Lives full of love and joy and peace. Paul says, we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We are united because Jesus is our Saviour. We're united because his resurrection proves his victory over sin and hell and death. Jesus is the lion and the lamb. So in the light of all that unites us, how could we ever be at loggerheads with each other? No wonder Paul says in another letter that we should maintain the unity of the Spirit. He says, as followers of Jesus, we should always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. I wonder, and please don't answer this out loud, is there anyone in church you struggle with just a little bit? Make allowance for their faults and hope that they'll do the same for yours. If we want to avoid house collapse, just like the Corinthians, we need to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we need to be united, patient, kind, and quick to forgive one another. Well, the foundation is important, of course. How we build also matters. Paul says he's laid the foundation. Now, the Greek word here in verse 10 gives us the English architect. And we know that architects don't do all of the work themselves. There are many others who join in the building project. And so it is for the church. There's a sense in which every Christian builds on the foundation. A little while ago, Jude, verse 20, was our motto of the year. And it's very appropriate for us just to recall it now. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't just the leaders who do the work. We must all build. Now, the building materials fall into two sorts. There's the gold, silver, and precious stones, and the wood, hay, and straw, the valuable and the worthless. The materials represent the quality and motives of each builder. Any attempts to build from purely selfish reasons or relying on worldly wisdom will be like building a house from sticks and straw. But those who build in obedience to God, under his direction and leading, and according to his character, they are the ones who build with material which cannot be burned up. We should ask ourselves, does my action only benefit me? Or does it bring glory to Jesus? Now, just as an aside, in questioning how we build, I'm not talking about attending more meetings, volunteering for more projects, or giving beyond what God has asked you to. I always feel quite sad when I hear some of our senior members say they can't do much anymore. Yet many of these friends are the greatest prayer warriors you're ever likely to meet. Prayer is the work of the church. In Acts, we read about how the 12 apostles appointed deacons to care for the practical needs of the growing church. And it frees the apostles up to teach and to pray. Prayer is vitally important. And I'm sure that this is one of the best ways of building with gold. Prayer is costly. It demands our time and our effort. But it draws us closer to God. We bring ourselves to him and receive from him. And when we pray, we begin to see things through his eyes and learn to trust the one who loves us beyond imagining. So if you can no longer help in the kitchen or on the property team, if you can't sing in the worship team, help out in Sunday school, or attend evening meetings, whatever it is that you used to do, please don't feel that you're not contributing now. Your prayers are the building materials of gold, silver, and jewels. And then secondly, believe it or not, there are some members of our congregation who actually go out to work. If that's you, this is not a sermon about how you need to do more inside this building. You're probably exhausted enough as it is. Your workplace is your mission. And as you look to extend God's kingdom there, you too build with precious materials. And the same is true for those at home caring for small children or caring for friends and relatives. The point that I'm trying to make is that we have the choice. We can decide. Are we going to build with the inferior materials of pride, impatience, bitterness, and disunity? Or do we build up our fellow believers with love, humility, patience, and perseverance? You see, whichever we choose, our building work is going to be tested by fire. Paul says in verse 13, "On the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value." Paul is not talking about whether a person is saved or not. He makes that quite clear. All those who build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, all of them are made right with God. We are not saved by our good works, but by grace through faith alone. But our work will be tested by fire. Now, this idea of the fire would have been a very familiar image to the Corinthians. In their recent history, they had experienced what would happen if you went up against the Roman, advancing Roman army. 146 BC, and their city was thoroughly burned. The Corinthians would have been familiar with what in their city stood or remained standing and what burned up. They knew that the inferior building materials would have just gone as if it were never there. So Paul says to the Corinthians, if you want to receive your reward, this is how you must build. When I was working as a teacher, one of the really lovely things at the end of every term was the little gifts that the children would bring to say thank you. It was never ever expected. Although I did hear once of a teacher in a prep school, he was a maths teacher, and towards the end of term, he had got so fed up with the sort of things that he didn't really want, he started giving examples of problem solving using bottles of whiskey. So if such and such has three bottles of whiskey and someone else has, and sure enough, at the end of that term, he was given lots of bottles of whiskey for the children. Sorry, that's not at all in my notes, I digress. But I promise you, I never ever expected to receive anything from the children. But it was always appreciated, it was always lovely when they did bring something to say thank you. But you know, even better than that, much more valued, were the words, the letters, the notes that were written to say thank you. Words are so, so important. Now, Paul talks about a crown received as a reward. And I believe these are crowns which would be quickly taken off and laid at the feet of Jesus. But the one thing that I long for, the greatest reward, I think, would be that which David spoke of last week. I wonder if anyone can remember what he said. The reward. So David is just standing there at the back looking to see if you can remember. No one brave enough to say, perhaps. But the reward I long for is to hear the words of Jesus when he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What a reward that would be. And what an encouragement. If building with precious stones demands self-sacrifice, if it feels like hard work sometimes, then we only need to look to Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews said, "Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honour beside God's throne." It is because of the joy awaiting us that we build with costly and valuable materials. Now, there are many different types of building: homes, hospitals, schools, and so on. Now, in verse 16, Paul makes it clear that the building he's talking about is the temple. Don't you realise that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Notice that he's talking to the whole church. Later on in Corinthians, he does talk about the individual believer being the temple of God. But here, in this context, the whole church is addressed. This is an amazing privilege that we have. There's a famous story of Sir Christopher Wren in the days when he was building St. Paul's Cathedral. On one occasion, he decided to make a tour of the cathedral. And he went and he found a man who was building, and he said to him, "What are you doing?" And the man said, "Well, I'm cutting this stone to the right size and shape." So Sir Christopher walked on, saw a second man. He asked him what he was doing. And the man shrugged and said, "Well, I'm earning a living." So Sir Christopher walked on and found a third man. "What are you doing?" Sir Christopher said. The man stood up straight, looked him straight in the eyes, and he said to him, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build the most beautiful cathedral." It's a matter of perspective, how you see things, isn't it? You see, we're not building a mud hut. We're not building a tree house. We're helping God to build his temple. At the time of writing his letter to the Corinthians, the temple was still standing. Oops, sorry, that's not the temple. That's the temple. The temple was still standing in Jerusalem. This was the second temple. The first had been destroyed in the 6th century BC. This one was built later, and King Herod had greatly added to it. He'd renovated it. It was such a grand building that one day the disciples were leaving it with Jesus, and they said to the Lord, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in these walls." It was a place of great beauty and awe-inspiring grandeur. It was the place of God's presence. It was the place where God had made himself accessible to human beings. But Jesus prophesied that the temple would be destroyed yet again, as indeed it was in 70 AD. "Yes," said Jesus, "look at these great buildings, but they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." The temple was obsolete, because now the third temple was the church, the people of God. This is the place where, because of Jesus Christ, all people can find God. It's the place where the Holy Spirit lives, holy, set apart for God's purposes. And no one is to destroy it. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So what does all of this mean for us? Peter helps us out, the Apostle Peter. He says that as the church, we are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Yes, but why? What's the point? What's the point of being all of those things? And Peter goes on to say, so that we show others the goodness of God. For he called us out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. When people look on our church, do they see the goodness of God? I really hope and pray so. But it's for us all, each one, to consider whether we build according to worldly values or according to the character and spirit of Christ. Let's not miss out on hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We pray together. Father God, we want to be a people who show your goodness to the world. Please help us to build with precious materials. Help us to imitate Christ, to work together with one mind and purpose, to forgive freely, and to love sacrificially. Amen.